Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Children, everybody look at me. All the kids. I have something for you here. Lottie Moon cookies. But you can't have any now. That's terrible, isn't it? At the end, so you know, pay attention to the message. So at the end, I'm going to call you all up in front, and we're going to ask you a few questions. And if you get the questions right, you'll get a Lottie Moon cookie. Is that fair? All right. Amen. So let's start it out. We got a little video we're going to show you, and let's start it out. Amen.
What we're going to do is just ask you about your time on the field.
Oh, I could tell stories upon stories.
Can I take the glasses off? Or
all right.
We want the uncut version.
Okay.
I thought you were going to let me think about these questions before you asked them to me.
All right, you ready? First question. When you think back on your time overseas, what brings you joy?
It's the relationships, sharing of life, the sharing of who Jesus is. The greatest joy of my time overseas definitely is people.
People.
It's the people.
People.
The people that I got to meet.
The lives that were changed.
It's the people.
People.
It's definitely is people that flash before my eyes when I think about joy on the field.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you first went overseas that you know now?
You really are not in control.
I'm totally dependent on God.
My best efforts would never get it done.
Just been more genuine instead of more calculating.
How integral my kids could be in ministry in a developing country that was very close to the gospel.
How much the people become your family.
That if you're not passionate about reaching lostness where you are, it's not going to grow when you go to a foreign land.
To what degree did the Lottie Moon Christmas offering impact your work?
There is no way we could have gone where we went without Lottie Moon.
Tires were expensive to replace. I think he had the record in Kenya, changing 60 flats in 1 year.
Wheelchairs.
Textbooks.
Housing.
Surgery.
Solar panels.
Honda 185 motorcycle. There's kids on the back of this thing. Motocross all the way to church on Sunday.
Torn Achilles, a shoulder surgery. Without the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I would be a mess.
Yeah, I never would have gotten to the field if it wasn't for the local church.
More than just an offering.
Every penny that was given.
Crucial Bible.
Literacy work, education opportunities.
A refugee center.
Health care. We put in almost 300 wells.
Trained church planters.
Strategic.
Lifeline.
Cooperative effort for the gospel around the world.
How has serving overseas changed you?
I think no one could have told me when I moved overseas what it was like to be a minority.
More sensitive to the needs of people around me.
Rather than seeing a people group, I see people. More attuned to God's leadership.
Ultimately confident in God.
In your opinion, what do you think church leaders could do to increase involvement overseas?
Marry the legacies of the past with the challenges of the future.
Model what it means. Go yourself.
People in the church will follow the example of their church leader.
By giving them a vision for missions, not just as something that happens when you get on an airplane, but helping them become stronger disciples of Christ in their own community.
If we're involved in global work, it will impact our local work.
He's brought the nations here.
Refugees, migrant workers.
Entrepreneurs looking for new ways to get into countries.
The opportunities really are limitless.
Last question. Being a missionary is blank.
Just being who you are as a Christian.
A calling is something that Jesus has asked all of us to do.
It's making disciples.
A challenge.
An exciting adventure.
It didn't look anything like I thought it was going to look.
But waking up every day and asking, where is the Father at work and what would he have me do?
To live out my life for Jesus in front of other people no matter where I live.
There's nothing like it. Nothing.
All right. Amen. I'd like to start out by saying this. If anyone feels like God is calling you to a full-time missionary overseas, please get with me. If you feel like the Lord's calling you to short-term missions, please get with me. Amen? Amen. So, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the service. Thank you for Barbara and sharing the mission and ministry that they're involved in. And Lord, we lift them up in prayers as they go to Peru and around and about in the world and spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for everyone here that's been on missions. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are going to be going on missions in the future. Thank you for Lottie Moon and her passion. You know, thank you for this church, our church family. Lord, thank you that we are a church of prayer, that we are a church of mission and giving. Lord, bless this time together and help me teach and preach this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, recently I had a man ask me and a few other men in our church an interesting question. Oh, sorry, I'm about losing my voice here. He said, what is the mission of Pauline Baptist? In my opinion, he was given a very good answer by another man that's senior than I am, you know, more senior than me, and an answer that I feel was very biblical and sound. After speaking privately with this nice fellow, I learned that he was really looking for a mission statement. And I'm sure that his intentions were good, but we just don't have a set in stone mission statement here at Pauline. And I do realize how important these things are in the business world. I understand how important mission statements are, slogans, taglines, and policies and procedures. I'm sure a lot of you folks understand that, right? The hospital has them, and a lot of corporations have these policies and procedures, these mission statements. It gives everyone, you know, in that company, a track to run on, a goal to chase after, and how to really get it done. That's what those things do. I even have a cute little saying every time I post something on our Facebook page. Some of you may have picked that up by now, when I'm inviting others to come to church. And I'll say something like, hey, you know, whatever we're doing that morning, and I'll say, will you join us? Or please join us. And then my little tagline is, dress casual and expect friendly folks. Anybody pick that up? You know, dress casual and expect friendly folks. And the reason I do that is that that's just me and it's my thing. Doesn't make it wrong or right. It's just the way I feel like the Lord's called me. Because I know that there's a lot of folks out there who are unchurched. They don't go to church. And that's who I'm actually talking to, or some of you read that. I'm talking to the folks that don't go to church, that are unchurched. And a lot of those, for their little lame reasons, I know they won't go to church because they don't want to dress up, or they feel like we're all fancy and they don't have a suit and tie. They don't have a dress. They don't have this or that. And so they use that as an excuse. And that's I understand how that goes. I like to dress up every once in a while like most everybody else, you know. We dress up occasionally. And I have a suit and tie from Joseph A. Banks, right, Heath? And I'll put it on when it's appropriate time. But, you know, I'm pretty casual, and I do this on purpose because I want people to feel welcome and out here in the country. Whether I'm wrong or right, I don't know, but it's just my thing. So I want people to feel comfortable and welcome to come here, and they don't have to be fancy. Nothing wrong with being fancy either. There's a lot of fancy churches out there that do the shirt and tie and dresses, and they love Jesus, and they're winning people to the Lord. Taglines, slogans, and motivational statements can be cute, they can be motivational, and they can be effective. But we're not a corporation. We are a body of believers. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want to share with you and give you the biblical mission statement for every Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in the world. We all have one mission. And we all know it's the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. And it's all familiar verse. Most of us heard it 1,000 times. Well, you're going to hear 1,001 times this morning. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 30. And Darius got it up on the screen. Matthew 28, 16 and 20. You kids paying attention? You take good notes now. All right, here we go. Scripture. Verse 16. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Wow, I'm going to stop and read that again. This is Jesus saying that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Talking about Jesus. So Jesus says, "Go therefore," now that you know that, now that I've cleared this up, right, that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, now we've cleared that up, he says, "Now therefore go and make" what? "Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So if you go to the jungles of, South America or Central America, Jesus is there with you. Or Peru, or to Russia, to Africa, Australia, somewhere in Europe. Jesus is there with you. Or to Lower Alabama, or the mountains in Tennessee, or New York City, right? Dallas, Fort Worth, or California. Jesus is with you. Now, if the churches and the individual believers will do this, and I know they will, because this is God's will, that this be done, to share the gospel all over the world, the following verse will be the results. And this is the verse for the IMB. Sounds like a secret government agency, don't it? The International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist, Convention. This is their scripture that they're leaning on right now. It's Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, 9. You can turn there if you want to, but Derry will have it up here. Revelation 7, 9. And it says, this is John, he sees into the future. He says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands." Guys, this is the multitude. This is us. This is the multitude of billions of people, maybe, I'm guessing, that will hear the gospel and accept the gift of eternal life through believing Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is all over the world. This is all nations and tribes and tongues. See, these two verses are what drives the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board. This is it. Now, since 1845, the IMB has partnered with churches to send missionaries to places all over the world where there's no access to the gospel, where they don't hear the gospel. That's all over the world. Sometimes you think it's in the most remote places. In studying this and preparing for this, I realized that in Canada, because when we have family live in Canada, Prince Edward Island, you don't see Baptist churches up there. You don't hardly see a lot of churches. Like, where's a church, Well, I learned that right above them in Quebec, millions of people, 1% Christians. In Canada, our neighbors right up there. I mean, drive, take you 5 minutes to drive over the international border. As long as you don't got nothing on you, you know. Might take you a little bit longer to get through. 1%. Just right up here in Quebec. Today, the IMB has 3,678 full-time missionaries trying to reach over 5 billion people around the world in 847 different people groups. Whew. When we give to the IMB, 100% of gifts provide missionaries the services they need to live and function and serve the people in their areas. It provides housing, training, education, and health care for these men and women who are serving to reach the lost of the world. This morning, we're going to kick off the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to help support these missionaries. I get an amen. Amen. Who is Lottie Moon? Now, most of you know who Lottie Moon is, but please allow me a few minutes to tell you about her, especially for the folks who are not familiar. Now, one thing I learned right away, real quick, it's kind of goofy, I know, but her first name. Does anybody know what Lottie Moon's real name is? Who said that? Blah! Ben, you get a cookie already, but not right now. You get a cookie, so remind me, you got that one right. Good, yeah. Her first name was Charlotte. You know, and most of you know that, but I didn't know that. She was born Charlotte Diggies Moon, December the 12th, 1840, in Albemarle County. Say that one, Albemarle County, in Virginia, right? And it was pretty close. This area is pretty close to the Shenandoah National Park, you know, kind of real close to it. And then right below it is Lynchburg, Virginia, home of Liberty University, right there. Now, Lottie rebelled against Christianity when she was young, and she had a reputation of kind of mocking her school kids and mocking them about going to church and, you know, believing in the Bible and that kind of thing. And but when she got into college, things changed for her. She actually accepted an invitation to go hear an evangelist that was preaching on the college campus, and she really went to, you know, one of her college friends invited her to go. So she really went to kind of listen to the minister and gather enough information so that she can kind of try to convince her friend to, you know, stop believing all this. But we all know what happened. The Lord got a hold of her heart, and she gave her life to God in that revival, that evangelist. That evangelist actually was one of the founding ministers of Southern Seminary in Kentucky. It's kind of an interesting little story there. So she got saved in December. When did she get saved?
December.
In December of 1858. Very good, bud. 58, and she dedicated her life to Christ. She was baptized at First Baptist Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, she attended the Albemarle Female Institute, which was like the female college of the University of Virginia. This is an interesting fact. This is not an earth-shattering sermon, but a lot of facts. But I like stuff like this, and I hope you get something from it. In 1861, she was the first woman to receive a master's degree in the South. Interesting. She stayed close to home during the Civil War. She grew up in a wealthy family. Her father owned a 1,500-acre tobacco plantation in Virginia. And they had a lot of money, and so she stayed home during the Civil War and to help her mother protect the plantation and work and that kind of thing. And after the war, she began teaching. She taught in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. But when she felt God calling her to China, she picked it up and left. She was 32 years old. Actually, if you study it, her sister went first. her sister actually went to China first, and then Lottie Moon followed her and went on. Right? She turned down a marriage. She gave up her home. She gave up her job, her career, financial stability, and moved. This was unusual for a Southern woman in an affluent family, you know, in the South. But God had gripped her heart for the Chinese people to find Jesus. She served there for 39 years. How long, kids? 39 years. She served the Chinese in the areas of Tingchao and Pingtu, China. Had a little Chinese there, didn't it? Did y'all hear that? It's funny because I was studying this and trying to, you know, get these words down. Lynn said I sound like a redneck Chinese, you know, trying to order a Great Wall. But anybody read a Great Wall in Valdosta? I used to when it first opened up. But anyway, they say that people was afraid of her in China. That's what they say. And they rejected her a lot. But she drew people into her house by how? Anybody know, kids? By cookies, right. Cookies. And that's what she would do. She would bake these fresh cookies, and it would attract kids into her house. Now, if you notice in the bulletin, there's the actual recipe of the Lottie Moon cookies. I don't know what that second part means, but you ladies probably know about that. Amen? So here's your recipe. Kelly, WMs, you might want to do something with that. I don't know. Amy, I'm sure you guys will be making cookies before it's over. But anyway, Lottie Moon moved to China. She dressed like Chinese. She learned a Chinese language. She not only lived there, ministered there, that she become part of that culture. And many people accepted her. Many people accepted her Jesus. They accepted Jesus. Well, they say that one of the biggest church movements that they've recorded now come out of the whole Lottie Moon area, and the largest, fastest growing underground churches in China come from that area. So for Southern Baptist, everybody still with me? For Southern Baptist, Lottie Moon and Christmas go together kind of like presents and wrapping paper. But a lot of folks don't know why we connect the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to the international missions. Now, we all know that she was born in December, and she was born again in December, but she also died in December. She died on December the 24th in 1912. Now, being born and born again and dying in December is not really the reason why we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The real reason is Lottie Moon wanted that. She wanted it. For over 35 years, she would write letters. Okay, she would write letters and ask for more money for missions and ask if we take up this whole, you know, the whole mission board was formed and everything, all that. But she wrote a lot of letters, and her letters were very powerful. They were very effective to help move people to give and to recruit people to come into the mission field, and God moved in their heart. Now, one of the particular letters I want to point out was written on September the 15th, 1887, and it had a profound impact that resonates even today, 132 years later. This is kind of funny a little bit, to me it is, but Lottie Moon had been reading the minutes of the Southern Methodist Women's Missionary Board. And she read in the minutes that the Methodist women had given $6,000 to foreign missions the year before. Now, Lottie Moon was a fighter, right? And she was competitive and everything else. That's what, you know, history tells us. And she knew that that was significantly greater than any Baptist woman had ever given, or any of the women ministries there. So she noted the secret to this. She said she noted the secret that it had to do with spiritual commitment to prayer and the self-denial. That was two things that she noticed from those Southern Methodist women that had give that much money, $6,000. And if you convert that in today, you know, it would be about $150,000 in today's value. That's still a lot of money, right? So Lottie Moon said it was prayer and self-denial. You see, the Methodist women set aside a week before Christmas to pray for missions and practice self-denial in spending any money for personal wants. So she thought that those prayers increased the desire of the people to want to reach the gospel and spread the gospel around the world. And the self-denial increased a little bit of extra cash flow so that people could give. So, you know what's coming, right? So I want to challenge us all. I want to ask you, I want to ask us all to focus this week in prayer for foreign missions. And don't let this be just some cool message that you heard. I really want you to focus this week in praying for foreign missions. And also, I want us all to sacrifice at least one thing this week. I want you to pray and ask God, please, one thing, sacrifice one thing this week in order to have a little extra money for this offering next week. Amen. I think we give about $2,000 every year. Is that what you said, Miss Mary? Gary told me one day that Pauline used to give the most to the Lottie Moon offering in the Mercer Association. Lately, I hadn't been real big on numbers and keeping up stuff, even with the Mercer Association. And a lot of my preacher friends are telling me that I need to keep up with the numbers, and it just kind of rubs me the wrong way, but that's my rebellious side, I guess, coming out. I need to be obedient. But there's one thing that I would like for us to do, is I'd like for us to be number one again in Lottie Moon. Right? In financial offerings. To support the missionaries overseas. They're in the craziest places. Y'all hear me pray about that a lot. Dangerous places, crazy places. They're serving with their families, like you know, your family, but everywhere they're serving, and we need to support them. I'd like to double that. I don't want to manipulate the numbers on the lights, but I'd love for us to, at the end, have $4,000 that we've given, and I just love to. I've been praying and asking the Lord if we can double that. That would be awesome. Maybe you can skip a meal this week. Maybe you can fast that meal. Maybe you can eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know. Maybe you can skip a meal where you would have spent 30, 40, 50 bucks. You know, whatever. Skip that meal. Maybe there's something around your house that's been hanging on to and you could sell it. I know it sounds weird for a preacher to talk like this, but I don't care. This is serious. This is people's lives. This is those people standing in heaven one day, right? He may walk up to Glenn and say, "Glenn, man, I know you don't know me, but I'm saved and I'm here today. And, you know, the Lord told me when you sold that old lawnmower you didn't want, that money went to a missionary, and that missionary ended up at my house knocking on the door." Crazy stuff like that's going to happen, isn't it? And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Maybe there's something. Be creative. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Be creative. Maybe it's just an extra 10 bucks. And if you're new and you haven't been here a while, none of this money goes to Pauline. None of it goes to me. None of this money goes here. All 100% of this goes to the missionaries overseas. Amen, guys? Ask the Lord for your help and be creative. Now, the other part of the funny thing about this is Lottie Moon was reading this Methodist, you know, minutes for the Methodist women. And she was writing the WMU leaders. And Lottie Moon said, you know, "Oh, the $6,000 I gave." And then she says this, "Doesn't this put us Baptist women to shame?" He's still a little guilt out there on them. That's all right. She knew what was going on. I thought that was funny. She then gave us the clear rationale for scheduling this Lottie Moon at Christmas time. Let me just read to you. She wrote a lot of letters. I'm going to read one, not the letter. I'm just going to read a little bit of what she said. Ready? "Need it be said why the week before Christmas is chosen? is not the festive season when families and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race, the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from abounding riches and little poverty to send forth the good tidings of great joy unto all the earth. Wow. That's good. And she, as she said here, portions from abounding riches and little poverty. She knew what real poverty was over there. You know, some of us may have been poor in our life. I don't know, that's not me to judge. But I've been to some foreign countries, and there's some real poverty, you know. Lottie Moon's, this is interesting, Lottie Moon's idea may have never gotten off the ground had it not been for Annie Armstrong. I thought this was a neat little connection. Annie, who lived in Baltimore, Maryland, was a leader of the New Women's Missionary Union. She took Lottie's suggestions and gave it legs. And in the following year, in 1888, the first Christmas offering for missions was scheduled. And Annie wrote by hand, Annie Armstrong wrote by hand 1,000 letters to promote the offering. 1,000, did y'all hear me? 1,000 letters she personally wrote by hand. I started thinking about that. I was like, wow, okay. She's maybe dipping in the ink. I don't know. Maybe she could write like a one-page letter. Maybe it took her 15 minutes. That's 4 per hour. And she worked 10 hours on this and still did her normal duties. And she wasn't watching Hallmark movies, you know. So she had some time. And no offense to Hallmark movies, honey. I didn't mean that anyway. But so that's 4 times 10. That's 40 letters per day. You know, divided by 1,000. That comes with about 25, give or take her a few days. So it took her 30 days. So in 30 days, she wrote 1,000 letters to get this whole thing started. She also sent out 30,000 offerings envelopes. 30,000. And thousands of other supporting materials. So I have something else I want you to do. You don't have to do this, but I would really like for you to do it. Have a little bucket. And I'm going to leave this bucket up here. And what I'd like for you to do is accept the challenge to write 4 letters. She wrote 4, I guess a 4 in an hour. If you could just write 4 letters on a blank piece of paper with pen, don't type it out, write it at hand, and just say this: Dear neighbor, I want to invite you to Pauline Baptist Church for our Christmas. We're having a musical and singing. I love Pauline Baptist Church because of. And in the end, I would put your full name. You can put John or Fred, or just say, hope to see you soon. Will y'all do that? We write 4 handwritten. Put them in an envelope. Put a stamp on it. It's not a lot of investment. Just 4 envelope. At the top, put in Pauline Baptist Church address. Leave it blank. And I'm going to get ever how many letters, and I'm going to make sure those go out to the surrounding areas. Lynn's already got hooked up with the post office, and we're going to buy the list to, like, maybe in a 10-mile radius. They'll get a handwritten letter from you saying, hey, neighbor, I want to invite you to Pauline Baptist Church for our Christmas, whatever you want to call it, cantata. You know, unsaved people don't know what cantatas are. You know what I mean? Our Christmas musical, whatever you want to call it, Christmas play. I love Pauline Baptist Church because of, everybody will have something different, right? And I said, I hope to see you there. Everybody got it? How many? Four. And you can just put them right in here. And we'll make sure they go out in the mail. Now, when Annie Armstrong sent out all these thousands of stuff, everyone was thrilled. And the results came in, and they raised $3,313.25. Yes, that was a lot of money. That was good. They were very pleased with it. Last year, the IMB, the received from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, $150 million. Come a long way, haven't we? But guess what? We're not even close to touching and preaching in the world and all the places. $159 million is really not a drop in the bucket compared to what we really need to really reach the world with the gospel of Jesus. Elodie's death was on Christmas Eve. When was it, kids? Christmas Eve, Lottie Moon. 1912. Amen. You know, I reading about her death, I'm just going to tell you, she struggled toward the end. She worked and worked. The country went into this deep depression and poverty, and she was giving away most of her money from the mission board and not eating. She wound up weighing 50 pounds, but she wouldn't stop. The leadership in the mission board demanded her, and they sent somebody to go get her physically to take her home to get some rest back to America. And she died on the way home. In 1918, the Christmas offering received another lasting link to Lottie Moon. And that year, as I said earlier, Annie Armstrong spoke and come out of retirement. And this is what Annie Armstrong said. It was Miss Moon who suggested the Christmas offering for foreign missions. She showed us the way and so many things. Wouldn't it be appropriate to name the offering in her memory? Southern Baptist women loved it. They were deeply moved in their heart. And Lottie's Moon now was permanently affixed to our Christmas offering and to foreign missions. Through the years, Lottie Moon's life and words have continued to inspire Southern Baptists to greater giving. Giving of our lives, our finances, for the cause of Christ, to spread the gospel around the world. I'm going to read one last thing that Lottie Moon wrote. This is what she said. I wonder how many of us really believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. A woman who accepts that statement of our Lord Jesus Christ as a fact and not as impractical idolism will make giving a principle of her life. How many there are among our women and men too who imagine that because Jesus paid it all, they need not pay anything, forgetting that the prime object of their salvation was that they should follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ in building back a lost world to God. Amen. That's profound to me. So this Christmas, guys, this Christmas, in response to God's great gift, the great gift of Jesus Christ to save sinners like us, may we fervently pray for missions. And may we generously give in order for others to be introduced to Him. Amen. As Tammy plays, let's all close our eyes. I'm going to say a few things. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to settle that today. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd like to join our church. Maybe you'd like to be baptized. I'd love to pray with you and talk with you about that. So we'll have a little moment of silence here. I want you to pray about that awesome decision. I'd also like for you to pray about what God's put on your heart to do for Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Let's just have a moment of silence about that. Anyone here this morning that would like to give your life to Christ, just raise your hand. I'll be glad to pray with you. And we're not talking about trying to be religious or even join a church. We're talking about a personal relationship with Christ. One more time. Anybody like to get saved this morning? Make it right. Okay. Everybody said amen. Amen.